crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's fueling half revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends, until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store, and know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. I beg him please to open up his mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life, until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Then read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can sing all you want to. Worship is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. You clear the stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol, and anything I want with all my heart is an idol, and anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything that I give all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to, yes I can sing all I want to. Place, if that's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
Psalm 55. If you're physically able, would you join me in standing to honor the reading of his holy word? Psalm 55. Psalm 55, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Dear God, as we read those last two words, overwhelmed me. I pray, dear God, that you'll give us in your house today the freedom, Lord, to think individually about me, to draw a circle around each of us, Lord, and think about those things that may be overwhelming right now. Though they may be physical trouble, it could be spiritual trouble, it could be financial. Whatever it may be that's overwhelming, Lord, just around us, Lord, I pray that you'd allow us, Lord, to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that of all the things, Lord, that truly we might be able to clear the stage and let you, through your Spirit, Lord, overwhelm us not only now, but be that overwhelming presence in our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Overwhelmed. That's a simple title that I gave this message, Overwhelmed. We read there in Psalms about this, the overwhelming feeling that was present. Aren't you so thankful the Bible speaks of real people with real problems that get overwhelmed? And every one of us at times in our life become very overwhelmed. I think many of you would say now, you're either right now thinking, my goodness, I can't believe he's preaching about being overwhelmed, because you're feeling so overwhelmed right now with so many things. And every one of you, including myself, can think of times we've been overwhelmed. Amen. Just been overwhelmed by things that happen in life and can't make it any more current or practical. And ask you, continue to pray for Deborah and Byron. Byron's treatment for his cancer has been very severe and painful and sickening this last few days and this week. But I walked in this morning and found Deborah was over here, and she was surrounded by several of the church family. And just literally, Deborah has been overwhelmed by physical trouble this morning and by emotional trouble and just all that she's going on. Just literally overwhelmed to the point it was just a heartbreaking sight to see, but it was a blessing. And to see it as church family, just take one item after another off of her. And Lisa and Randy, I thank you for getting her home. And Jessica, you're just always ready to step up and take care of things. And she must have had to go in the back and work now too. So thank God for that. Amen. And thank you, choir. And thank you, Mr. Russ Sunday School. Thank you for everybody that just kind of jumped in and helped. But literally this morning, and many of you that may weren't involved even walked by, it's just overwhelmed. Amen. And it happens. Amen. It just happens. It's something that goes on. And I'm so thankful that the Bible speaks of it and talks so clearly here in Psalm 55. If you look over in Psalm 61, it's just a few over from there. You find the Bible once again. And let's read in Psalm 61. It says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. The Bible's talking about your heart just being overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. There's a picture of when we're overwhelmed that there's something available, and that rock being Jesus Christ that we can go toward. Verse 3 says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. So David thinks back, and I'm just so thankful for the honesty, amen, just the clarity. We live in a world that everybody just feels the need. You know, you got to put on a good face and a good front for your family, and put on a good face in front for, you know, at work. You know, you don't want to appear weak at work or get down, and it's just amazing. But the Bible is full of just great men and women of God. And just like you and I, very sinful and oftentimes failing men and women of God, but they're very honest. And David said, my heart is overwhelmed. And I don't know all the things that are overwhelming each of you, but I dare say that either we're usually in an overwhelmed state or constantly the things in our life that's going on is trying to overwhelm us. Amen. Watch a little of the news, spend a little time online. Man, there's enough junk always just kind of overwhelming our lives. So practically and personally speaking, we know. What does it mean when David said those words in Psalm 61, when he said literally, he said, my heart is overwhelmed? What did he mean? What was the meaning of that word? I think so often we think about a word being overwhelmed, and we know what the word means, kind of, but the more we say the word, the more we think. But biblically speaking, what it means is so much deeper. When he had that word, overwhelmed, and we see it here, it literally meant, like, in the original language of the Hebrew, it was like to have a shroud around you. Either shrouded, if you think I'm maybe kind of a foggy, smoky type appearance. Oftentimes they would have shrouds that they would put over themselves. And just the idea of this covering, this surrounding, you know, kind of the picture of you get up sometimes on a, you know, early morning to go to work, Tony, and man, the fog is just so deep and you really can't see ahead of you. And, you know, you hit them high beams and, man, that's worse. And you hit the low beams and you're like, man, I'm just surrounded, Nikki, by this fog. We probably all experienced that. And that's what the word overwhelmed means. You're just covered in. You're surrounded. You can't see far ahead. You can't see above. And when you're surrounded in this fog and cloudiness and these overwhelming things in life, it's kind of closing in on you, and it's just making such an impact on our lives. The word, in other words, kind of meant to be clothed by it. One translation was, and what David could vividly see that maybe not as easy for us to see, it meant just to be languishing in darkness. So not necessarily that it was darkness of the night, but just in the middle of a bright day and a beautiful day, just things should be seeming going well and are surrounding David. Maybe everybody was just about their work. They were about doing what they do and seemed to be making it fine, seemed not to be overwhelmed. David says, I just feel like I'm in dark. Ever felt that? It just, man, I'm in darkness. And what is it? It's a spiritual darkness. It's a shrouding. It's something that's encroaching upon us. And David was just kind of languishing and floundering in that darkness that was attacking him. It's a word, overwhelmed, that means that it's covering over. Words in the Bible and the Old Testament that kind of connect to it are the words fail. You know, sometimes you have that overwhelming feeling, and right on the tail end of it, you think, well, I failed. You know, and we all fail in so many ways, amen, and I failed, so that's why I'm feeling this way. It's my fault, what I've done. We become faint, amen. Deborah, who's normally one of the most excited and energetic and bouncing all over the places, was literally sitting on the pew, and she was feeling that faintness, that weakness that comes. And oftentimes it's a emotional thing, it's a physical thing that turns into all this that's going on, and we just become so weak. This overwhelming wants to make us feel weaker and weaker and drive us to the point that we think there's no hope. We want to hide, and often when you see the word overwhelmed and what David was talking about, and you find David often retreating to a cave for safety and just trying to get out of being attacked by Saul and others after him, we find that really oftentimes when you become overwhelmed, kind of a instinct within us is that we want to hide ourselves, amen? Oftentimes finding people who will become just so overwhelmed by the pressures of life and things that are going on, they'll withdraw and take themselves away. And I think all of us, and some of you may have done it to the extreme, I think all of us have done it at some point in our lives. We just kind of want to just get away from all that's overwhelming us. Turn me to Matthew chapter 11. So we'll go and just quickly into the New Testament. We're going to find in Matthew 11, I think a connected verse, a similar idea in the Bible that will help us to understand practically what it means not to be overwhelmed, but understanding, I really find in Scripture, I believe what God will help us when we're being overwhelmed with so many things, He really wants to overwhelm us, amen, and help us. But look with me in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28, the Bible says, and Jesus is speaking here, He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There's that connecting word. Heaven laden has a lot of similarities, that word to be overwhelmed. Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly and hard, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anybody say amen with me? Amen? Isn't that not? And here's the thing. That verse and what Jesus is talking about, Jesus isn't talking about when you just become overburdened. I mean, you've done all you can. You know, I mean, you've been working hard. You've been working late. You've been doing everything you can. You're trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You know, you read all the self-help books. You know, you tried to get a nap in. You tried to get rest, or you're trying to take some five-hour energy, whatever it is you've done. What he's saying here is that Jesus is recognizing that we'll be overwhelmed. He knew clearly what David was talking about his heart being overwhelmed. Jesus knows here we will through our labor, and not just physical labor, but just laboring through the emotions and the thought press of the world we live in. He knew that we become heavy laden, and what he's talking about here is something that we do day after day and moment after moment continually, Miss Linda. It's not saying get to the point where there's no hope. You're thinking you're going to break. You want to hide away. You're faint. You're about ready to give up. And then he says, okay, you've saved it up. Come over to me, and I'm going to help you out. That's not what all he means, Loretta. I mean, what he's saying is, I know, I understand. And the reason I'm talking about this labor and, well, in the heavy ladenness that you live in and being overwhelmed is something that he constantly, day by day, says, you've got to come to me and always be reminded, if you can, out of the fog that comes being overwhelmed, out of the darkness and of all those things that come, remember that Jesus Christ is crying out, and he's describing that the burden I'll put on you is light. So we know connectively that whenever we're feeling overwhelmed and there's no hope and we don't feel like we can go another step forward, Sherry, that what Jesus is saying is, that's not my burden. I didn't then put that on you. Oftentimes we put it on ourselves, amen? Oftentimes, other people put it on us. And then there's many other things that we'll look at and talk about this morning to have the understanding of what it means to be heavy laden. That overwhelmed, the heavy laden that we see here in 11:28 is from a word that means, and it's so amazing to study these words in the Bible. It came from a word, original word that meant to load up. And I start thinking, now that's begin to speak to me, because when I'm overwhelmed, what has happened? I've got loaded up. I'm getting loaded up with a bunch of stuff, and it's the idea of an overburden that really connects with the idea of being overwhelmed. I'm overburdened. Amen. I'm being overburdened by things that are coming into my life and things that I'm hearing and seeing and even physically feeling. And that word laden really carried the idea that something carried, and one of the most common things that we know in our current world today is the lading would be the cargo of a ship. So what this word overwhelmed, this idea of being heavy laden, means that we've got loaded up with more stuff than the ship was designed to carry. Amen? That's what it's talking about. And that's constantly going on, okay? And Jesus is saying, David, I'm not doing that. You know, sometimes I'll never forget when I worked in the business world, I would have so much going on, and I'd go out to see customers, and I'd be working with people in the office. I'd be in the shipping area, I'd be in the production area, I'd be in the sales area, and I'd be gathering, I'd go and visit customers, there'd be problems, I'd work with my fellow employees, and all this is going on. And sometimes, Aaron, I would literally have to get to my desk, and sometimes it would take an extreme amount of time to just kind of take all the notes and all the lists and all the demands, and I'm trying to just sort it out, amen, figure out what's going on. I remember one time I was so overwhelmed by work, and I came home literally. I left Charlotte at 5 o'clock, got home about 6, didn't even sit down and eat a full meal. About 6 o'clock, I began just working and just trying to say, I've got to spend some time, and I've got to get out from under this stress and this pain. And I worked from 6 o'clock to some after 12 o'clock. And I thought, my goodness, I feel a little better. I feel like I've accomplished something. I've got some of this done. I've got some of this stuff off my list. And tomorrow morning is going to be better. I walked into my desk, and as I got in my office, the first thing I saw is there right in the middle of my desk were 3 new projects. Now, normally I do like we all do. I said, okay, well, I just got to figure out a way to do this. But I began to think, Mike, and I thought, well, now, wait a minute. In the midst of this, I'd be writing the work, and I was trying to, you know, listen to some preaching and listening to the Bible more and some devotions and getting closer to God. And I was trying to, you know, believe what Jesus said and have him help me not only in my spiritual life but in my work life. And I looked at those 3 projects there, and I thought this. I said, what would be the conversion factor of 6 hours working at home, no phone ringing, no interruption, nobody around? Tony, how many vehicles could you fix 6 hours if you were there in the shop that it was from 6, nobody's there, no interruptions, what could be accomplished? But compare that to what happens on any given day. Phone ringing, interruptions. So I said, how many hours would that translate? How many hours would that equal in the work world that? And I looked at that, and you know, I went to my boss, and I said, you know, I'd probably have gone crazy, gone angry, gone off or whatever if I hadn't been from the night before. But the reality is, if I'd have come in without doing that, I couldn't have tackled that. Marty, I went to my boss and I said, I said, I'm sorry. There's no way I can take these on. You know what that rascal did? He just looked at somewhere to dump them off on. He just took them and poured. He probably dumped them off some poor person, probably well more than I was. But see, that's what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying, listen, you've got to, it's not that you work harder, that you work smarter. Hey, I've had those bosses. They've told me and said, we're kind of overwhelmed here at work. Well, you got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Smith. Are you using those? I've worked for those bosses. But we get loaded up. We get overwhelmed. And a friend of mine at work, we used to always talk about this. So, you know, it seemed like just when things are going smooth at work, man, the wheels fall off at home. Something begins to happen at home, and there's trouble, and, you know, and we finally kind of get our arms around that, and we get everything smoothed over, and by the grace of God, you know, it's just a miracle, but things have calmed down at home, and then something would flare up at work. But it's so constantly Satan is doing this. Jesus is saying, listen, life is not meant to be this complicated. And yes, there's going to be overbearing things, and you're going to get loaded up, and Satan is constantly going to have burdens and things put upon you that you can't carry, and Jesus says, you've got to come to me. In 1 John 2 and 15 through 17, listen to these verses. It's kind of a setting to take us into understanding how to get overwhelmed by him instead of overwhelmed by anything else. The Bible literally says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What a verse in the Bible. So what practically that God is trying to tell us is that all these things in the world are those things that are overwhelming us and that are loading us up. They really are. He's telling us that if we're in love with the world, we really don't have the love of the Father. He's saying that, listen, all these things in the world, we all have these lust of the flesh. Lust simply means I want it, and I got to have it, and I got to have it now. And so what all that, man, you know, I see a new car, I see a new truck, ladies see a new dress, see a new pocketbook, a new pair of shoes. You know, it's just how we're made up. There's billboards everywhere, there's advertisements, and all the world is saying, hey, you need this and you need it now. The lust of the eyes, the pride of our life, and oftentimes it's that very pride thing that the Bible talks about. And the Bible talks about that pride cometh before the fall. And that's what happens all. We're too prideful. We're not going to ask for help. We're not going to do anything. Any couple that ever talked to us having marriage trouble, any couple that's going to get married, I tell them that I hope that I would do anything for my marriage. Amen. That I would get Christian marriage counseling. I would do anything that I did. Because I'm telling you, what happens, what Satan does in marriage relationships, relationships between children and parents, grandchildren and grandparents, friends, people in church, here's what Satan does. Here's how this overwhelming happens. I really believe that, just practically speaking, best way I can describe it, and I use this often in talking to people, is it's like a wall begins to be built one brick at a time. Now you think about that. You got a brick wall, you know, and one brick here, ain't no big deal. That's not overwhelming. Don't affect me at all. Don't notice it. I step right over it. But over the days, and over the weeks, and over the years, one brick at a time. You know, and after a while, you say, man, this thing is getting to really be a problem here. And the problem is, I think each brick represents, it's not just one thing. Amen? And that's what Satan often does. Man, if it weren't for my boss, if it weren't for that guy I work with or girl, if it weren't for this job, if it weren't for my wife, if it weren't for my husband, if we just had a little more money. But every brick goes up, and then all of a sudden what happens, you get to a point of life that it's up here. And Brother Jim, you can't see over it. And you're like, how in the world did I become over? How did this happen? And it happened one brick at the time. It happened that loading, that building up of one thing at the time. I wrote a few things in my notes as I studied. Taking on too much work or responsibility. We have some accountability, amen? Just taking on too much. I contend that no is a good word. God uses the word no. My mom and daddy use the word no. My wife uses the word no. At times in my life, the church uses the word no. I had bosses use the word no is a good world. But folks, we live in a world we're surrounded. Our world does not want to hear no. You want to tell, you know, practical application, try telling somebody no. Amen? People don't want to hear no. We don't know, no to how you live, no to what you do. Nobody wants to hear the word no anymore. We've got government agencies, and we've got psychologists, and we've got medical professionals. They spend all their time helping people to live. You know, just it's all yes, you know. Yes, just do what feels right. Yes, you can do that. Yes, but no one wants to hear no. But sometimes, folks, we just take on too much work, too much responsibility because we don't say no. Other times, we're just overwhelmed by other people. Amen? I never experienced that as a pastor, though. That never happens to me. Things, but you know what happens? And see, that's what, here, what I'm getting ready to say next is how we treat, we think everything's that way. Well, I'll just say no more. I just got to cut down some of this. I got to quit saying yes so much. I've got to do something. But here's the problem. The other big thing with overwhelming is this. It's that things we can't control. Physical things we can't control. Amen? Cancer. Heart trouble. Mental trouble. Emotional trauma. Illness. We that being overwhelmed, but we treat it the same way, don't we? Daily pressures. Family, work, friends, school. And the last one I wrote down is simply this. And we often miss this one. And that's the temptation to sin. And notice I'm not saying the actual sin, but just the temptation to sin. Jesus experienced that, amen? Jesus experienced that when Satan came. I want you to turn to me, and I want you to look at the greatest example that we have found in the Bible of someone who was overwhelmed and how they handled it. Turn to me to Mark chapter 14. This is one of those passages that we need to say, glory, hallelujah, thank you, God, not only for your son, but you sent your only begotten son, not only died for us, but a son who would show us this. Mark 14. Mark 14, the beginning of verse 33. Mark 14 and 33, the Bible says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. He's becoming overwhelmed. He's becoming heavy laden that he teaches us about. And he saith to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little, fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, which literally translates daddy, father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. Look what he says at the end of verse 33. Jesus says, very heavy. You know what we find in this passage? Jesus is overwhelmed. Jesus is overwhelmed. So I'm thankful to the one that I'm called to follow, the one that died for me. I find in Scripture an example when he comes overwhelmed. And he does three simple things here. And I'm telling you, these three simple things that Jesus practiced in his life can be three simple things that God can help, just as he did Jesus, can help us when we're overwhelmed. What did he do? The first thing that Jesus did was he was honest about how he felt. Now you say, well, that's Jesus, y'all. That's Jesus. That's God's son. Well, the Bible tells us that he was fully man and that he was fully God. He was all man, he was all God. So what Jesus is showing the all man and all woman part of us is, he's saying, listen, just be honest about how you're feeling. Quit trying to hold it in. Quit trying to hide it. Quit trying to make everything better yourself. Just be, Jesus will say, be honest. Be honest at how you're feeling. Let people know what's going on. Let them know how you're feeling. Maybe the very people that you to help. There's a second thing he did. He asked for help from his friends. You notice that? Took all the disciples there, took three with him to ask to pray with him. But he asked his friends for help. Now tell me, every time we get overwhelmed, the point we can't handle it, we're not doing those things. We're not being honest with ourselves. We're not being honest with other people. And we're not asking, we're going to get this. I just got to take care of this myself. How dare, what's my wife or husband going to think if I describe this? What are my friends going to think if I tell them? Well, I want to tell you this. If you got friends that you can't be honest with and say, I tell you, I'm overwhelmed. I'm thinking of things I shouldn't be thinking. I don't know what I'm going to do. If you've got friends that you can't, you need to add some friends to your life that you can. Amen? Jesus had some friends in his life that he could be honest and say, hey, I'm overwhelmed. Will you come and will you pray with me and will you be with me? And the third thing it is, not only was he honest about what was going on, and not only did he ask for help, but I'm telling you what he did. He flat prayed. He knew that there was a God in heaven. That he knew that there was a God that still hears and answers prayers. He knew that he could pray and that it'd make a difference. Jesus in Matthew 8, 20 through 24 talks about the peace he had in the storm. And in Mark 1:35, he talks about getting away from God, getting away to be close to God. In Psalm 77 and verse 3, the Bible says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. In Psalm 142 and 3, the Bible says, my spirit was overwhelmed with me. Thou knewest my path. And in the way when I walked, have privily they laid a stair for me. In Psalm 143 and 4 through 6, the Bible says, therefore my spirit overwhelmed with me, my heart with me is desolate. So what the Bible says, when we come overwhelmed, we've got to realize that we've got a God, that when we go to him in prayer and then we seek him out, what he wants to do is overwhelm us. And I contend with you folks, our problem is my problem and your problem and the problem of our world is we're just not being overwhelmed enough by God. The more overwhelmed we are by him, the more we'll be able not to be so overwhelmed. And when those overwhelming things we can't control, because we can't control everything about work, amen? We can't control physical illness, but we'll be so overwhelmed by the presence of God. That's what Jesus found. Jesus, did anything change? Yes, what changed was Jesus had the ability to get up and go ahead and face the very things that were overwhelming him. But now he had let the truth put out. That pressure was off him. God and his friends knew it. His friends were praying for him. They were walking with him. They were praying constantly and getting away from God. And then all of a sudden, instead of all the things that was overwhelming him, he said, God, just let your will be done. And that's what he wants us to do. But you've got to be overwhelmed by his presence. Look at Mark 9:15 with me. It's right close where we're at. Look at this. I want to show you. I want you to read this verse. You may have several verses of the Bible, but I'm going to give you this and we'll be done in just a moment. And I saw this, but in verse 9, Mark 9:15, the Bible simply says, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, talking about Jesus, they were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question do you with them? And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed. That's what the King James Bible says. Let me read a couple of the translations. One says, and immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running to greet him. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Another one says, immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And finally, one translation of the crowd watched Jesus in awe as he came toward them, and then they ran to greet him. One said they were overwhelmed with wonder. And here's the thing I began to think about in Scripture, in the Bible. That's when I become so overwhelmed by all this stuff and all these people. It's usually when I'm not in a relationship and experiencing God and being overwhelmed by him. And I began to think and look through Scripture. I thought about Jesus being that greatest example. But think with me for a moment. Adam and Eve were overwhelmed at first in the Garden of Eden by the simple provision, all the beauty and all the perfection that God had given them. But there came a point in their life, and this sounds like you and I, they became overwhelmed by sin. They were tempted. They fell to it. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of that, they become overwhelmed by the presence of God. As he walked into the garden, he's calling out their name. Y'all, that's a practical picture of us. We're born, we're growing, we're going through life. We're just amazed by the provision. Man, all the things he gave us, and man, when things are going well, then sin and trouble comes. We become overwhelmed with that. And God says, let me come back and let me overwhelm you with my presence. And remember, in that presence, he calls out our sin, calls us out of hiding, but so that we can go forward and be overwhelmed by walking with him instead of what's going on. What happened with Noah? Noah lived in a world that was overwhelmed by sin. Such terrible. You think things were bad now. Notice this. God has not destroyed the earth lately. Amen? You think it's bad. He was overwhelmed by sin around him. But what Noah did, hey, did that sin stop? Did the world change? No. But Noah got so overwhelmed by the presence of God and the mission that God gave him, Noah became overwhelmed by the project that God gave him. And still lots going around. I'm telling you, every one of you, God has a plan will for you to serve him in his church, outside his church. You get overwhelmed by that, and a lot of this sinful stuff in the world will not overwhelm your mind and your life as much. Amen? In Exodus 43, Moses meets with the Lord, and it's the second time God had given him the Ten Commandments. Moses came down. He was overwhelmed by the sin. And it basically, here's my paraphrase, I'm up talking to God, getting a fresh word, and y'all down here acting like a bunch of idiots, amen? And often that's how we feel. You know, you go away and you come back and you look at your family and like, man, we all acting like a bunch of idiots all of a sudden. You get to work, what's going on, amen? Y'all right? But what happened to Noah was, Moses, what happened to him was when he goes back a second time up into the mountain, Exodus 43, and God, gracious God, overwhelms him a second time with this word, puts him on a new set of tablets, and listen, the people's still the same. Moses, but all of a sudden he's overwhelmed by God's word. Amen? Jesus got overwhelmed in that wilderness temptation. Man, he was overwhelmed by what Satan was throwing at him. Because remember, the same Jesus in the garden, same Jesus in the world, he's overwhelmed. But all of a sudden, he begins to become overwhelmed in his mind with the word of God and scripture and what God had given his word. And that's what he began to say. And then at the end of it, he was overwhelmed by the presence of angels ministering. I believe in the spiritual sent through the Holy Spirit. You go out in this world is not changing, y'all. It don't matter who gets elected president, who gets in the Senate, who gets in Congress. It don't matter what, this world is not changing. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says it's not, amen? But what can change is we get so overwhelmed in the midst of what's going on, like Jesus and Noah and Moses, that things will be different. Saul was overwhelmed by religious fervor. I mean, he's one of the most religious men that ever lived. He was going to take care of them old Christians. Another time, he was excited about it, and he was overwhelmed by his convictions and his beliefs and passions. And all of a sudden, on the road to Damascus, he got overwhelmed by the presence of Jesus Christ. And that's the very thing Jesus wants to do. I'm telling you, we can walk in this sinful world. We can face whatever comes. And are we going to get down? Yes. Are we going to get overwhelmed? Yes, Jesus did. But I think the thing that he's showing us in Scripture is that the key is continually be overwhelmed by him. And how did Jesus do it? Jesus didn't, you know, Sandy, I love godly counselors. I believe God used them. It was wonderful. But I'm telling you what, you can't get to the counselor every day, amen? You can't get to church every day. I can't get to you every moment. But Jesus said when he was overwhelmed, he said, simple, I'm just going to be honest about it. You know how freeing that is sometimes? Sometimes I get overwhelmed, and I just go in and I start telling Sandra, man, you know, this happened and this happened and this happened. There's something that's just Jesus' example. Did anything change? No. Just feeling a little better about it. Getting a little bit off. At least Randy, I think Deborah felt a little better getting off all that was going on today. Just tell somebody. Tell somebody. Then he asked his friends to pray with him. I want to ask you a question. How many times during the week do you ask friends, people close to you, to pray about things with you? It's what Jesus did. But you know what it says in the Bible, and I love what it says. It said then, Jesus, he left them. The Bible says he went a little further. Now, I'll confess I'm guilty of this. Oh, pray for this. Pray for church, pray. Sandra, pray. Brooke and Davey, pray. And then I really don't spend a whole lot of time praying myself. Jesus went a little further. And I think this is the most important thing. He went a little further. He fell down on his face. And he began to really enter the presence of God. And when the presence of God overwhelms us in a time of private prayer alone with him, and some of you are thinking, preacher, you know, I don't want to have to say it, and I'm glad I ain't going to confess it, but I don't do that. Then that was worth coming this morning. Because I didn't tell you a thing. I just showed you what Jesus Christ did when he was overwhelmed. And Jesus got up, and he faced the cross. Isn't that interesting? No prosperity ministry there. No, everything's going to be wonderful. He still had to go and face the cross, and the Bible says to take up our cross daily. And the only way we can do that is how? To be overwhelmed by his presence. Finding him in those times of prayer, and then finding him sometimes just in the midst of work or surrounding everybody, and just simply my favorite prayer is often this, y'all. This is real spiritual, real deep. Don't miss this. You have to get the tape so you'll learn this prayer. This is a special prayer. You know what my faithful prayer is? Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, And there's someone here that can't call out that prayer because they've never given their heart and life to you. And Lord, I pray your spirit is so heavy upon them and you're knocking so hard on their heart's door and you're squeezing their heart. Then the moment we're going to have an invitation number and that when that psalm begins to play, that they'll just come. You know, Jesus told someone the truth. Would you come tell me the truth about your condition without Jesus? So we simply open the word and share with you. What are you overwhelmed about, church, personally? You going to sit there in that pew? You going to go home and do the best you can? Or are you going to try what Jesus did? You know, before you can be honest with others, you got to be honest with yourself. And before you can even get to your friends to tell them or tell someone, you can pray. There's an old-fashioned altar here, maybe that you know well, or maybe you've never been to or not very often. Here's the simple thing. Do you believe that how Jesus handled being overwhelmed works? And do you believe he can use it in your life again? I do. The altar's open. Maybe he wants you to be part of our church family. That's going to be the friends, and that's going to be the ones that you're going to begin to use to help you when you're overwhelmed like Jesus had that group. And we open our doors and receive you, whatever the need is. Lord, I thank you for this psalm we're getting ready to hear. And Lord, I pray you'll use it in this time of invitation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Follow what Jesus did, because after resurrection, Jesus, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and the Bible says that Jesus came and he walked with them. They were very overwhelmed and burdened by all the things that had happened. Jesus had died, and he walked with them, and he listened to them, and he talked with them. And I'm telling you, there's no greater thing that anybody can that you can do for anyone is that you walk with them. Oftentimes when what do you say when somebody's got the cancer diagnosis? The pain doesn't go away. The nausea doesn't go away. Nothing seems to get better. Now, how much prayer what we do? What do you do? And I tell people often, someone will pray for you, and I wish there's more I can do, but we'll walk with you through this valley. And I'm thankful. I saw a church family do that this morning. Many of you no one knows the times you walk with people. But I encourage you, if you're so overwhelmed now in your own life and you're able to do that, pray that God will sustain you in what you're dealing with so you can walk with others, because there's nothing like having somebody walk with you that's been through similar things. Amen? Been through something. Remember tonight, band of brothers is going to be here. Hope you'll be back. Bring somebody with you. Going to have a covered dish meal. There'll be plenty, because you're going to bring plenty. Amen? 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 A little dicky, a little wheat. We might be very good to get a deli tray. We'll pray for them. Thank you for being here. Dickie, would you close us in prayer?